And welcome to our nightly, what's become almost nightly, recap of Steelers training camp in La Trobe. Today is, of course, Monday, and the Steelers are back at it on the practice field after having Sunday off. I'm pleased to be joined tonight by the great Scott Brown from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Everybody's read his work online for years. He's also, you can also listen to him on Trib Live Radio with Ken Laird and those guys out there. So, Scott, it's my pleasure to have you on the special edition of the Terrible Podcast tonight. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, David. Hey, thanks for not doing with Ken Laird today, which is common during my room, so you can broadcast your show from it.
I hear you. Hey, I've got to, right off front, I've got to know, what is this running joke with they keep kidding you about the smell of your room? Surely it doesn't smell that bad. There's got to be a story there somewhere.
No, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm sort of a nerd to it since I'm living in it, but it's a dorm room. I don't know. It's small. So, I don't know. I think they were just having a little fun. But, I was like, man, you guys are really killing me for, you know, I found such a nice guy having you in my room. And they broadcast here for 5 hours. from 9 to 2. But, no, it's all good fun. They do.
I hear you. You guys do a great job, and you're fairly new to Twitter, and you held off doing it for a long time, but you've seemed to caught on pretty quick. What do you like it? Are you liking it better, and how have you taken to it?
I guess I'm still in that stage where it's a novelty, so I'm hoping that doesn't wear off, and I'm like, gosh, and it becomes a chore. I love the immediacy of it. Love seeing what other guys. You're on it, posting all the time. Love seeing what you post, and just anyone who covers the Steelers, and it's a great way to get stuff out there. And hey, the funny thing is, it kind of like a sign of the times is when Emmanuel Sanders, I believe that was last Monday, when we get down to the field after the walkthrough, he's sitting there on crutches, and I'm sitting there holding, my recorder in one hand as he's talking, in my other hand I'm tweeting as he's talking. So you're able to get that out right away. And today, and when Kevin Colbert went on with Kenny Laird and John Steigerwald, I'm sitting in my room, because it is my room, and I'm tweeting or blogging what he's saying, like, immediately. So I think that's pretty cool. The one thing that I don't like, and I'm sure this happens to you, I swear, if my phone's nearby and I don't look at it for 10 minutes, I almost like reflexively reach for it just to check Twitter.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I don't, as you can tell, I don't leave the house very much. And when I do, it drives my wife crazy, because I've got to have my smartphone going. I've got to make sure I'm not missing anything out there. And it has become part of our society now. And I think it's here to stay, but it's a great tool. And I think you're doing a great job, as is Mark Cabali and all you guys over there at Tribune. And I know I speak for Steeler Nation when we appreciate seeing these updates, because let's face it, I'm just a blogger. You guys are there and covering it, and it really is greatly appreciated. So I just want to let you know that.
I appreciate that. It's crazy, but you said it's here to stay. I'm just wondering, what's next?
Yeah.
What can possibly next?
I can't even imagine the way this thing is going right now. I really can't. Well, let's get right at some of the topical issues. Jericho Cotchery was in town. Looked like he is left without a contract, according to reports. How... I wrote about this last night, on the blog, as far as, and I've been worried about this all offseason since Sanders had both of his surgeries.
Right.
Do you think the interest in the Plaxico Burress and the Jericho Cotchery and whatever else comes down the pike as far as receivers go, do you think there is some true concern about, A, Sanders' foot injury, and B, whether or not Antonio Brown, if needed, can step into that number three spot?
Wow, I would say yes and no. Yeah, first of Sanders, David, and I do think that, yeah, this is the interest they're showing in Cotchery. I think it's I don't know if alarm is the word, but it's a little troubling, and leads me to believe that there is more concern about Emmanuel Sanders' foot than maybe the Steelers are letting on. It's just, to me, it's a strange injury to begin with. and that he had, you know, it seemed like a relatively minor procedure. He had, you know, fixing a minor stress fracture, and, you know, 12 weeks later, he's still not 100%, and it makes you wonder. Okay, I know he had the injection with the bone marrow, but it just makes me wonder if this thing's gonna heal in a timely fashion, since it took this long already. I don't know, and to me, I didn't think too much of it when they were showing interest in Burris as far as it there being a correlation with Sanders' injury. I thought there it was just, he's just an intriguing guy. You know, the one thing that the Steelers had lacked, that sort of that big target in the end zone. They knew him, that, you know, the guys were here when he was here, loved him. Seemed like it would have been a pretty good fit, and again, he would have sort of routed out a receiving corps, because that's the one thing they don't have. But now with Cotchery, it leads me to believe that, you know, there is some concern about Emmanuel Sanders and how much he would have played. One good thing, though, you know, for Steelers fans, is Antonio Brown. He's been a star camp. He just looks like he is, every practice he's making plays, making great catches. Came in, you know, Mike Tomlin was sort of loath to hand out compliments during camp, and he did single him out early for coming in here in such good shape. And again, he's really taking advantage of the opportunities he's gotten with the first team offense, with Hines out prior to today, and now Sanders shelf, and he looks like he's the kind of guy that could have a breakout season.
You know, the thing is that Brown definitely has the talent. I don't doubt that at all. I just think he's more suited to play the Mike Wallace type role outside than he is inside the slot, like Sanders and L had did had done last year. I worry about him doing the things like the recognition and the blocking. You know, there's no doubt the kid can run the routes and catch the passes, and I just worry, and maybe the Steelers are worried, you know, as well. You know, that could be the case with him going forward. And I guess we'll know real quick starting on Friday against the Redskins.
Yeah. And that's a good point, too, about Antonio Brown. Dave, Hines Ward had a quote that it didn't jump out to me this morning when he said it. But then when I went back and listened to my tape, it did. He was asked about the Steelers' interest in Cotchery, and he was, all in favor of bringing him in. And he basically said, you know, we have a ton of talent at wide receiver, but no experience. And if I get out, or if I'm lost to an injury, it's just basically saying that there's just still too much youth at the position. His talent is and is enthusiastic and as promising as those players are. So, if he feels that way, I got to believe that the front office and Mike Tomlin feel the same way, with the experience, it's just a little discomfort there as far as maybe not having enough if a guy like Hines Ward goes down.
You have Arnez Battle. I know he's not an every down, a guy that you can be counted on if Ward was to go down. Is he he's had a pretty good camp from what I understand. Is he doing enough to stick as maybe, the fifth or sixth receiver on the roster?
Yeah, and Dave, I think if I recall last year, he made a lot of catching camps. He must be doing the same this year. Getting a lot of opportunities, but, judging by last year, I just can't see him getting that many once the season starts. I don't believe he caught a ball last year, if I'm right. Pretty valuable guy on special teams, but I just don't see him as getting many opportunities. I do think he'll make the team as a special teams guy and sort of some insurance. I guess, there's a guy with some experience if you're looking for that. But I don't know. I don't see him being really a part of that rotation. And him being more just a special teams guy and some insurance in case there are some injuries at wide receiver.
I guess we can pretty much close the book here pretty soon on Lima Swede, the way things are going here. Would you agree?
I do. Talked to several people and just, it's just, feel for him, and obviously he's got a lot of physical ability, but you just keep hearing it for whatever reason. It's too big for him, or he just sort of shrinks from the moment. And I don't get the sense that Bruce Arians is a big fan of his, and for that reason alone, I think it's been very tough for Lonnie Sweet to make this team. And, you know, the Pratt, and I wrote Lonnie's story for tomorrow, and I did write, you know, it seems like he's been having setbacks with his injuries, but really, in the grand scheme of things, they're not as significant because he's going to have to do it in games.
Yeah,
he's really going to have to, these exhibition games, if he's going to make his team, he's just going to have a couple monster games and you know, just basically make it so, force the Steelers not to cut him, force them to find a place for him on a team. And again, the only way, he's not going to do that catching passes, catching deep balls here at St. Vincent. It's got to be in these preseason games.
Yeah, I agree. He's got to have a super preseason to make the squad. Now, you mentioned the Colbert interview, which was in your dorm room there this morning. I thought that was a great interview, and I kind of zeroed in on the question where they asked Colbert about the possibility of Mac Starks or Flo Zell, the possibility of the door still being open for them. Let's look at the left tackle's position with Jonathan Scott, who, by the way, evidently tried to go on that ankle today, but had to get shut down once again. And I would think that they're probably going to shut him down for the rest of the week and won't let him play against the Redskins. That would mean, God forbid, Tony Hills is going to be your starting left tackle Friday. And do we agree that there's no way? I mean, there's no way they can go into the season with Tony Hills as the backup left tackle. Am I right?
Yeah, I was talking about that with someone today on another radio show. And, yeah, I mean, Jonathan Scott and Tony Hills, your left tackles, it's one of the top three positions in your team, right? If you're paying Ben Roethlisberger all that money, you got to protect his blind side. I can't see it either. So you take that situation and you look at what Kevin Colbert said, like how they told these guys, hey, you know, we're not completely closing the door on bringing it back. We might be hearing for us. We need you to believe that at some point, I wouldn't be surprised if Flo Zell and Mac both get a phone call from them and just see, gauging their interest and seeing if they can make the dollars work. Because I agree with you, Dave. I mean, I can't see them going into the season with Jonathan Scott and Tony Hills at left tackle, and especially with some of the, you look at the Ravens, a guy like Terrell Suggs. Are you kidding me? That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, eventually they're hoping for Marcus Gilbert to take over that spot. But let's face it, the kid's already missed the first week or so in pads because of a hamstring. He supposedly returned today. But you can't put that on and the Steelers have proven over the years they're not going to throw a rookie at left tackle there. God forbid, you know, in case of emergency, I guess, if you go through multiple injuries. But I would think that either Max or Flo Zell would get a call first. If Flo Zell, let's take Flo Zell, for example. If Flo Zell was the one to be brought back, I would think that he would go to right tackle, or do you think they would, this is assuming Jonathan Scott still is starting at left. I would think Flo Zell goes to right tackle and Cologne kicks inside to right guard, and then God forbid if Scott were to go down, then Flo Zell would flip over to his old left tackle spot. Is that the way you read it?
Well, I'm not sure how to read it, to be honest with you, because I know there's always – you know, it wouldn't be training camp or Steelers season without speculation that Willie Colon's going to be a guard or Willie Colon should be a guard. But I don't know. He's playing really well at right tackle right now. And I know the other night at St. Vincent, or I'm sorry, at Latrobe, and he dominated Aaron Smith in lineman-on-lineman drills. And, you know, one of the times he threw the guy, just tossed him. Now, that's Aaron Smith we're talking about.
Right.
And I don't know if you move him, especially with, I guess as we're getting closer to, not closer to the regular season, but, I mean, if you move him, are you going to have enough practice time for these guys, for him to adjust to that new position and for him to develop cohesion with the other players? I don't know. It just seems sort of late for me to be doing that. That's why I would think that if they bring back, they bring back one of those guys, either one, I think, they'd probably make, or I'm sorry, with Flo Zell, he'd be a left tackle. But again, I don't know. There's been so many moving parts of the offensive line that, definitely could happen. I don't know. I just worry, Dave, if I'm the Steelers, if you move Willie Colon, if you're giving him enough time to really get acclimated to the position and, learn all the nuances that come with it. I don't know. I guess I look at that and I go by, you know, the sort of problem is said when, you know, when they're dealing with injuries, they like to keep the moving players around to a minimum, which is last year why they didn't, when Willie Colon went down, that's why they left Max Starks at left tackle and put Flozell Adams at right tackle, even though Starks opened his career as a right tackle and Flozell Adams has been a left tackle all his career. So I don't see it happening as far as Willie Colon going to the guard. So and if that's the case, I think it probably makes more sense to look at Max Starks, assuming you're pleased with where he is from a weight and injury standpoint.
Yeah, I would have to agree. If when you explain it out like that, you know, Max maybe makes the most sense to bring back, being as, you know, he's played the left tackle spot. Maybe they just told him to go get rehab that neck injury a little bit, and maybe he needs to lose a little weight, and maybe he will be back. Maybe that's why they're holding off these extensions with Timmons and Polamalu, and just to see what shakes out on the roster. But I think we can both agree that right now the only left tackles you have on your roster is Scott and Tony Hills, and that's a dangerous situation heading into the season, especially now that Scott's kind of nicked up, and Gilbert, there's just no way you can expect him to jump in there that quick.
Yeah, and I would have said there was no way you could expect him to jump in there even before he missed the string of practices, with the hamstring, just because, of the lockout and all of the off-season workouts and practices and chalkboard sessions with the coaches getting wiped out. I mean, I just think it would be crazy to go into a season really dependent on any of these guys. I think anything you get from your rookie this year is probably gravy. And especially left tackle, you can't put a rookie out there, especially not in circumstances like these, when he's really getting exposed to this for the first time in training camp.
Yeah, I agree. And he's not. Let's not miss the point here. He's not Joe Thomas either. You know, even even though he's a second round pick and all. So, well, let's move on.
Remember, when they drafted him. I'm sorry, when they drafted him, they didn't have a position for him.
Right.
They said, you know, we're going to look at him at guard and tackle. Obviously, that changed. They couldn't do that because of the lockout. But it's not like they drafted him and say, hey, this guy, our left tackle of the future. They were candid in saying that, you know, we're not sure where he fits yet, so we're going to take a look at him in a couple different spots.
Do you think he's going to end up a tackle eventually?
I think so, and part of that though might be based on need. With their situation left tackle, I think they got to take a look at him there, because you pointed out, Tony Hills. I don't see him being a viable option as a backup. So, I think maybe he could start out the season as the backup to Jonathan Scott, assuming, there's not a lot of, we don't have a return of Max Starks or someone else gets in the mix there. So, yeah, I think they're going to look at him in tackle, and then, I don't know, maybe it changes during the off season when we actually have a regular off season this year.
Yeah, I think it's a scary.
Next year, I'm sorry.
I'm not as scared about Jonathan Scott, the opening day left tackle, as I am who's behind him right now, more than anything.
Right.
But I'm talking to Scott Brown from from Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and he's gracious enough to join me tonight. Let's move on to, did you get to see any of practice today? Were any of the young corners back, or are they still rehabbing those injuries?
I got to confess, Dave, I only saw the practice at the end. I was actually putting together this line of sweep story, so I didn't see too much of it. Harrison did not practice, which is raised a little bit of a red flag with me. That's three practices now, I believe, that he hasn't gone. Plus, he had the day off, which gave him another day to rest. And I'm wondering if the Steelers are just being very cautious with him in that back, or if something has happened with the back that's causing them to really limit his practice time. Not to alarm people, because he's a guy, you know what you have in James Harrison. I don't know how many repetitions he needs up at camp, but that seems like a lot of days off, even if you are being cautious of the guy. And then obviously Ed Lyons wasn't able to finish. Same with Jonathan Scott and Foster. I don't believe he practiced either. the corners, I didn't get a chance to see who was in and who wasn't as far as the corners. But they've had a lot of injuries there too. And I'm wondering if that's lockout related as far as
conditioning.
Weren't able to I don't know, maybe just not in as good a football shape as they would have been had they been able to work out, you know, under the watchful eye of the Steelers trainers and strength coach and people of that ilk.
Do you think Keenan Lewis is starting to come on a little bit now? Do you think he's a lock at this 53-man roster right now?
I don't know about a lock. I think he's pretty solid, though. I'll tell you what, Dave. Maybe I don't know if this has anything to do with the fact that they're best buddies. If he can cover, he can stay with Mike Wallace.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. All you hear tweets about from people that attended practice and people covering it was, oh boy, he can stick with Mike Wallace, and he knows him so damn well from over the years and all that. It seems like that's the only guy he can cover.
I know. It's like, Ben, if you can cover him, what's so difficult about some of these other guys? And I think he's looked pretty good. But I would hold off on making any proclamations that he's going to really push McFadden or that he's going to become, a bigger part of that cornerback rotation, only because the training camp last year, Dave, he aside from Mike Taylor, he looked the best out of all cornerbacks. And then we all know what happened in Denver where he just imploded, with a couple of stupid plays and getting thrown over the game and then drawing the wrath of Tomlin when he punched out the glass in that fire extinguisher.
Right.
So, he was never heard from after that, really. So, I'm sort of in wait-and-see mode with him, even though I think he has looked pretty good thus far.
Yeah, I was hoping to, Cresden Butler, it seems like he keeps being, sidelined by this quad or hamstring or whatnot as well. I was really hoping he would make the jump here, but yeah, I guess they look at him more as an inside guy than they do an outside. I guess more in line for, a backup nickel role. Would you agree, or do you think he can play the outside?
Yeah, he's another tough one because he's been really hampered with it's either a quad or hamstring. I know Tomlin keeps saying it's a hamstring. It could be a quote, whatever the case. He's got a nagging leg injury and just had not seen enough of him out there. I do know that the Steelers, when they kept him last year over Joe Burnett, they did so because they thought he had the long-term potential to start at some point in his career. So whether we're going to see enough of him this camp to for him to actually push McFadden, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously had some setbacks here, but he's a guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing, not just in practices, but seeing how he does in some of these preseason games.
Yeah, I agree. And before I get you out of here, Baron Batch, we know all about, and he's really been a nice camp. I wouldn't call it a surprise because way back after he was drafted, boy, I went back and tracked down some tape on him, and that kid can block, so that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
I think, everything I hear about Stevenson Sylvester, that he's ready to really contribute a little bit more this year. Outside of the obvious, who is a dark horse maybe to make this 53?
You took away Baron from me, who I think, Dave, is a lock to make this team unless he completely tanks in the preseason games.
I agree.
If he's just okay in preseason games, he's going to make this team. I'm trying to think of some of the undrafted guys. Or here's the kid, the McCoy, the tight end.
Right.
He's looked really good. But here's the problem. He's kind of a tight end. I mean, he's an H-back, but he's also got a lot of fullback in him, and I don't know if there's a role for him in Bruce Arians' offense.
Yeah.
Given his aversion to fullbacks. I think that hurts him, but he's looked really good.
Yeah, it's kind of tough out after that. I think that Anthony Gray kid's looked good, but he's probably destined for the practice squad, I would think. So, I would think that we've seen all the surprises. Do you think Wesley Saunders has a shot? It seems like they're looking at tight ends pretty hard and heavy free agent-wise, so it looks like he could be a practice squad candidate as well.
Yeah. I think it'd be tough for him to make it. But again, a lot of time too. With some of these, that's one thing too. That I want to actually see a preseason game, and you have to think that the first team offense isn't going to play more in a series. You really have to think that, given the situation left tackle with Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think he throws a pass against the Redskins. I think they just let him hand off the ball a couple times. But I'm looking forward to seeing how some of these guys. These young guys, some of the undrafted free agents, how they do in the Redskins. I'm sure they're going to get a lot of playing time. And I think maybe that'll give us a better idea of, if he might qualify as a sleeper.
I definitely agree. I think, they just announced that Reggie Kelly, I think, will be visiting with the Steelers tomorrow. So, I don't know, maybe they don't like what they see out of John Gilmore so far, who they signed. So, I think they're going to have to – and as much as I like David Johnson, I don't think he's – I think he's more of an emergency second tight end. I think he's more of a better H-back myself personally. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the tight end position going forward. It seems like that's a little bit unsettled. But, Scott, man, I know monopolize a lot of your time tonight, and I sure do appreciate you joining us, and I want to make sure I have you on again, as we get through these 4 or 5 weeks of preseason.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do it before preseason ends, Dave.
All right, sounds good. And that's Scott Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at @ScottBrown_Trib, and you can read his stuff every morning and even on his blog during the day at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review website. Scott, once again, I appreciate you joining us, and have a great night.
Hey, Dave, yeah, keep up the great work, too. Like I said, I don't believe that, I'll say that there either has to be more than 1 year or you don't sleep, so.
I hear you. I try to get it in, but I'm a classic insomniac, so I don't sleep. I just wait.
All right, well, hey, Dave, great talking to you, man.
All right, have a good night. Thanks for joining me.